Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationedmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
Well, we started on a series just talking about that the things in life where it feels like I'm supposed to do something, something should go this way, and there's another factor that feels like it's in contrast, it's in tension, it's almost in opposition. And yet, as we study it out in the Word of God, we find out that these things are actually complementary to one another. They're not in contrast to one another. They're not competing against one another. They're actually complementing one another. And today, we're going to be just continuing to have a look at another aspect of that. You know, a number of years ago, there was a movie came out. Some of you may have seen it called The King's Speech. And it was award-winning, film and a great film. There was this one part of it that really stood out to me where the king is with his wife and he's kind of working on a speech. And, of course, the whole issue is that he has a speaking problem. And in that moment, he breaks down in tears and he says, "I am not a king. I'm not a king. I'm not a king." And he starts to cry. And the reason it was so powerful is just how it communicated and connected with the reality that we can have a responsibility and feel so inadequate in the moment for that responsibility. And I think that connected with me because I definitely have gone through times in life where that's exactly the way I felt. I felt like I've got a responsibility. There's nothing wrong with that. I've got something that I feel like I should do. But that sense of inadequacy at the same time, even things that you could feel like, hey, this is what I believe God's put in my heart to do. And then there's another side to that coin where you're like, yikes, you know what I'm saying? Where you're just like, this is challenging, this is stretching. And so you're called, but you feel inadequate for what you're called to. Well, I think that's exactly how Mary felt when the angel of the Lord shows up to her and says, hey, you're called to bring in the Christ child, that's your role, that's what you're going to do. And then she's like, how's this going to happen? I'm not married, I'm a virgin, I can't exactly have a special, child or anything like this. I mean, this is, a gifted kid, whatever. And then it's like, no, that's not what's going to happen. You're going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. But that sense of inadequacy coming with calling. And maybe you've had times like that. Things that have happened in your life where it's like, I know this is what I'm supposed to do, but I feel inadequate for the responsibility. Maybe you're a new parent and you know what it's like to have this little human being awake in the middle of the night crying because it's not feeling well. And you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Maybe you're further along in the journey. Maybe you're parenting teenagers. Oh, you're so quiet. You're parenting teenagers. You know what parenting teenagers is like? It's like being in a sport where they change the rules every month and nobody tells you. That's exactly what it's like, right? That's what parenting teenagers is like. Maybe you're a person who's working on a degree at the university and you're taking some courses that are like, man, these things are really stretching me. I'm really challenged to be able to do this. Maybe it's about your job. Maybe you've had a promotion or a change of career and like the learning curve is like this. It's uphill all the way and you're wondering, can I make it? This is what I'm thinking I want to do, but do I feel adequate to actually learn all this stuff and gain the skills and make this job work? I can remember back in the day when we were doing the rental for 99th Street and, going through that process, which was like a one-year process, by the way. And at one point in time, I remember being in a conversation with somebody and I said, here's what my job is like. I get to come to work every day and make a decision about something I've never done before. So that was what that looked like. It was like, we're going through this rental. You're supposed to oversee the project. Every day, you get to get your head wrapped around something you've never done before and make a decision. And so it's a stretch. But we can have things in our life that make us feel that way. How about sharing your faith? As a believer, reaching out to people who don't know the Lord, that are around you, family, community, whatever it is, and you can feel very much like out of your comfort zone. It can bring out a sense of inadequacy, or what happens to me is this. I get in the conversation. Maybe this happened to you. And then I walk away from that, and I have this duality. I have this, oh, thank God for that opportunity and that conversation. That was great. And then I have this other side that goes, I wonder if I said the right thing. I wonder if I said enough. I wonder if I said too much. I wonder if I could have said it differently. And I think just having a passion to help people find Christ almost becomes like a door for the enemy to play in your head and to accuse and make you feel inadequate in something that you are clearly supposed to do. And so there's this tension that happens where we feel called, but we feel inadequate. We're being called. We're embracing responsibility that we should be embracing, but in that moment, feeling adequate. You know, speaking of calling, our first calling is actually into a relationship with Christ, which we are inadequate to build. But God, of course, makes up for our inadequacy through his grace and through his forgiveness. He's the one who makes us adequate for it, but that's our first calling, our primary calling in life. Is to know Jesus. Our primary calling is to walk with him, have a relationship with him. That is the number one call that is on our life. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. And so God has called us into relationship. He saved us, and then he called us. And it's about his grace. It's not about my works. It's not about, am I good enough? Did I earn this? Do I deserve this? It's got nothing to do with anything. Like, can I make it? Can I live this out? It actually doesn't even have anything to do with that. It's all about God's favor. It's all about his grace. So that's our first calling. As a matter of fact, Jesus, talking about his disciples, said this about them. He said he called them that they would be with him and that he would send them out to preach. So the first calling was relationship. The second calling was responsibility. And that's exactly how it's defined. Here's what calling is defined as: to urgently invite someone to accept responsibility for a particular task, implying a new relationship. That's biblical calling. That's how this thing works. We got called into relationship with Jesus, but we also got called into responsibility to share with others about the opportunity to know Christ as well. And the opportunity for them to receive forgiveness and eternity in heaven and all the rest of it. And so the scripture talks about calling, and that's how it flows. In short, though, God wants to work through your life and through my life to make a difference in the lives of others for his glory and for their eternity. That's what he wants to do. And this is a place where our sense of inadequacy can seem to be in conflict and contrast to calling. I mean, I'm okay with God's called me to have a relationship with him. I'm okay with God's forgiven me. He's brought me into relationship. I get to experience his presence and worship. I get to have his word speak to my heart and renew my mind and change my life. I'm okay with all of that relationship stuff. I'm even okay with the fact that I don't deserve it, but God gave it to me. I get to experience grace, favor, all of that. You get to experience all of that. But when it comes to God wanting to use our life, calling can bring out feelings of inadequacy. When it comes to picking up responsibility, that's where we are tempted to call inadequate. Can't do that. Not going to work for me. That's where inadequacy can play into it. Well, is that unique? Is that like, Dennis, you're the only one? I'm the only one. I don't think so. And not only is it not that I'm not the only one or that you're not the only one, but it seems to be something that is common to people. It's just the way it is. Walk through the scriptures and watch how people respond to God calling them. How about Moses? God calls Moses. What's his first response? Who am I? It's like, you got the wrong guy. You want to use me? Who am I, God? That was Moses' response. How about Gideon? God calls Gideon. He's like, look, I am the least. Actually, that's not what he said. He said, I am the least in my family, and my family is the least in all of the tribes. So I am like the least times two. okay? That was Gideon's response to God calling him, was immediately a sense of inadequacy, like, oh, I can't do that. How about Jonah? God calls Jonah, he runs in the opposite direction. Talk about inadequate. Runs in the opposite direction. How about Esther, who needed the encouragement of her uncle to say, look, you're in this position, and if you don't do something, we're all going to die anyway. So step it up, buttercup. You know, you got to get in there. Jeremiah, God calls Jeremiah. And what does he tell him? He says, do not say, I am just a youth. In other words, Jeremiah, don't have a language of inadequacy that tries to explain why I can't use you when I've decided already that I would use you. When I've already placed purpose in your life, don't try to talk yourself out of your ability to embrace what I put in your life. How about Isaiah? God comes to Isaiah. What comes to his mind? This is a holy God. I feel ashamed. His sin. His sin comes up, and God has to deal with the issue of righteousness in his life and all of that. Before he could move him on to embracing the call of God, he had to overcome feeling inadequate because of just knowing, I'm a sinner. I mess up. How about Peter? Jesus prayed for Peter and said, Peter, I'm praying that your faith doesn't fail. In other words, you're gonna go through some things. You're going to make some wrong decisions. You're going to be ashamed of what you did. But I'm believing that shame won't win out over your calling, that shame won't leave you at a place of feeling inadequate. And I'm praying that your faith will not fail. How about Timothy? And Paul's dealing with Timothy, and he tells him, listen, don't look down on your youthfulness. Don't look down on your youthfulness and think, well, I'm so young, who'd listen to me? Well, don't do that. That's what Paul told him. Same thing God told Jeremiah. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't prejudge yourself based on your age, because you can still obey God and say what God wants to say and be used by him. And to also dealt with him about fear. So feelings of inadequacy have never been a reason where God has changed his mind about working through people. Come on. God's never looked at somebody and said, oh, you feel inadequate. I better find another plan for your life. Oh, you feel inadequate to talk to your neighbor about Jesus? Tell you what, we'll take you out of that responsibility and we'll give you something else to do. Never. God doesn't change the plan because we feel inadequate. What he does is he empowers his people to overcome inadequacy, to fulfill what he already said and predetermined that you have the capacity to do. He helps us become overcomers, not just people who go around, I'm a victim of my inadequacy. No, no, no. God will empower you to overcome. What about my weaknesses? I've got weaknesses. Yeah, the Apostle Paul had weaknesses too, and here's what he said about it. He said, in my weaknesses, I've actually found that God comes through even stronger for me in my place of weakness. Because I can't take any credit in my place of weakness. I have to give all the glory to him. He comes through even stronger in that place. And God wants to do the same thing for you and I. And so, when it comes to calling, here's another thought about it, and that is this. Don't dismiss calling because you have such a selective view of what it means to be called. You see, here's the problem. We have taken a language from the Bible, and then we have refined it and we have reshaped it to where it means something different when we use the word calling. So when you hear the word calling, perhaps because of your church background, the first thing that comes into your mind would be, yeah, that's like pastors and evangelists and worship leaders and people that are in full-time ministry. Those people have a calling, but not me. I just want to say to you that that's just not true. That is not true. That is not a biblical way to think. Because why? Because calling is a function, not a position. Think about it. Nobody's called to full-time. I feel called to full-time ministry. Why do you got to wait to get employed by a church for God to use your life? That's crazy. It's crazy. Nobody's called to full-time ministry. You are called to minister to people. You are called to serve people. You are called to represent Jesus. You are called to share your faith. You just do that and then let God play out the rest, however it may play out. But we are called to a function, not a position. So how can I understand what calling really is? Well, hello. Sorry, I couldn't pass that one up. It's too fun. I'm just gonna draw out for you something that hopefully will help you just be able to understand calling. And since we're in the Christmas season, I will use Christmas colors. And you'll be able to walk away from the service going, I know I was at a Christmas service because of the colors of the drawing that the pastor did on the whiteboard. There you go. So hopefully that will help you. By the way, it's always dangerous when I do this. I mean, I did this one time. Somebody in the front row went, that looks like a bum. And I just had a season of never drawing again. I was so intimidated by that. Anyway, three circles. What are they? Mission. Okay. Passion. And I'm going to use the word gifting, but do not think like 1 Corinthians 9, you know, 9 gifts of the Spirit or whatever. Don't think bigger than that. It's more about ability, capacity, talent, all the rest of it, everything that makes up gifting in our life. These are like three things that can work together. So this is a really kind of a simple way to understand calling. We all know what the mission is. The mission is to share our faith. The mission is to help others find the Jesus that's impacted our lives. That's mission. That's what that's all about. But in the context of mission, we all have different giftings and we all have different passions. Things that it's like, this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I love to do. This is where my heart is at. And this is where my skills are at. This is where my gift is at. And so God uses that and along with mission to have us do things that are connected to the ministry of the gospel into people's lives, either directly, one-on-one, or as a team, as a church together. So we have people in our church who are on mission. They're like, we are about reaching people, but my gifting and my passion is why I'm in the cafe. My gifting and my passion is why I'm a part of the excellence team, making sure this place is clean. My gifting and my passion is why I'm involved with the children's ministry or involved with working with youth or whatever. And so what happens is all three of these things work together. And then this little spot right here where they all overlap is the place where we find calling. It all works together. It all flows together. It all connects together into that place. That's that middle portion. That's the place where God works, and that's how that all works together. So in the context of being called and understanding some of those things, what I want to do with these next minutes that I have with you is basically take inadequacy, and I want to unmask it. I want to unmask it. Because why? Because God wants you to overcome so that you can fulfill. Overcome so that you can fulfill. Here we go. Inadequacy is often an emotion, not a condition. It's an emotion, not a condition. And so when we say, man, I feel inadequate, usually what we're saying is this: I have fear, I have a lack of confidence, I'm intimidated, I feel insecure. But it's typically not about competency. It's not like I have a condition where it's like I do not have that skill, I do not have that ability. No, you just have the emotions of inadequacy. It's not about your inabilities. And so, for instance, we have Moses. God comes to Moses, I want to use you, I want you to go connect with my people. They're in Egypt, they're in slavery. You're going to lead them out, you're going to take them into the promised land. I'll do all the miracle part. I'll do the, you know, staff turns into a snake, touch the water, turn to blood. I'll do all the signs and wonders. I'll take care of all that stuff. You just need to show up, and here's what you need to do. You need to show up to Pharaoh, say 4 words, and walk into the promised land with the people. That's your job. That's your job. Walk in, 4 words, march the people into the promised land. And what does he say? Who am I? Who am I? 4 words. It's just 4 words. Let my people go. And Moses is like, I can't do that. It's 4 flipping words. You can do it, Mo. Come on. What does he do? He feels inadequate. Now he's like, I can't talk real good. Fine, use Aaron. Have him talk. Yeah, but when I go to the people, they're going to ask, who are you? Who am I? You know, and it's all going to be awkward. You know, and who do I say sent me? Tell them I am. Yeah, that solved the problem. But here's the deal. Competency wasn't the issue. Feelings were. Competency was not the issue. Feelings were. And that's often what goes on with us when it comes to inadequacy. It is not about, can I do it? It is about, how does this make me feel? Competency is not the issue with our responsibilities. Even think about the responsibility of the gospel and sharing our faith with our neighbors, our friends, our workmates. It's not a competency issue. It's not like you don't know the gospel. It's the intimidation that puts you in that mode of, well, what do I say? What do I say? And all the rest of it. Paul had to deal with Timothy when it came to his feelings of inadequacy. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. What's he speaking to? He's speaking to the emotions going on in Timothy, and he's saying, you know what? You're afraid, but he says, that's not from God. That emotion is not from God. Now you need to recognize what God has given you. Spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Replacing your fears with faith. Speak confidence in your life. Just like the scripture says, let the what? Weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. What is that doing? Speaking to the emotion of the situation. Man, I feel intimidated. I feel weak. I feel a lack of, you know, ability and all the rest of it. Well, start talking in the opposite of what you feel. Start declaring what God says. I don't have a spirit of fear. I have one of power, one of love, and I have a sound mind. That's the spirit that God has placed inside of me. That's the spirit he's placed inside of you. See, the question isn't, can you do the job? The question is, can you get past your fears? Can you overcome intimidation? Can you choose confidence? That's the issue. Here's the second thought, and that is this. Your foundation for adequacy is more than competency. Your foundation for adequacy is more than competency. I want us to read 1 Corinthians 1:26 together. And it's just talking about calling and the reasoning behind calling. And here's what it says. For consider your calling, brethren. There were not many wise according to the flesh. There were not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not so that he can nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. You know what? God chooses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. And when we measure adequacy, what we tend to do is this. We tend to look at talent, skill, IQ, personality, giftedness, position, influence, appearances, all of those things. God's measurement of what makes you and I adequate to be used by him is very different than the systems of the world. That's why in Corinthians, he goes on, he says, you know what? There wasn't many wise. I didn't go through I didn't go through Ivy League schools looking for who got the best marks when I was looking for people to use. There was not many noble. He said, I didn't go through all the families and try and find the people that were, you know, had a position as a family of royalty and nobility and all the rest. He said, I didn't do all of that. And so he's saying, I don't measure the same way the world measures. Well, how does God determine adequacy? Let me flip back again to Moses for a few minutes. God comes to him and tells him how he wants to use him. Exodus 3:11 says, but Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? So here's his response of inadequacy. In Exodus 4:10, it gives you some of the reason why he feels that way when it says this. Then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And so he's feeling like, I feel inadequate, but I feel like I have a good reason because I'm not a competent speaker. That's not my gift. You're asking me to go and speak on behalf of the people. Speaking is not my particular gift. I don't feel like it's a fit going on here, God. Then we come to Numbers 12:13, and we find out why God chose Moses when it says this. Now, the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. God wasn't asking, how good of a speaker are you? God wasn't asking, are you eloquent? God wasn't asking, are you gifted with putting words together? God was looking past that into his heart and saying, what's your attitude like? Humility, I can work with that. Often when we are feeling inadequate, we, like Moses, have found that one thing that makes us feel inadequate. And then what do? We focus our lives on that one thing I'm not good at. Oh, I'm not good at this. Oh, I'm terrible at that. Oh, when it comes to this, I get so frustrated. And you know what? We all have our weaknesses. I had to organize my wife's birthday last summer. Oh my gosh, so out of my gifting. Terrible, awful, stressed out, delegate like crazy so I don't screw up. You know what I'm saying? I was like, but the point of the matter is this, we all have our weaknesses. Now, if all you do is focus on that, it's gonna leave you convinced that you are inadequate, just like what was going on with Moses. But have you considered how many things you actually have that are strengths about your life and that are amazing? For instance, you can have a right attitude. You're a winner. You're available. You're always willing. You're a positive person. You're humble. You're a servant ready to help people. You're such an encouragement whenever people get around you because you've got such a brilliant attitude. You can be a person of great character. You're faithful. You're dependable. Man, you come through. If you give your word, you follow your word. You're honest. You have integrity. You're not a gossip and you're patient with people. You're a person with great character. You can be a person of action. You're diligent. You're industrious. You persevere. You don't quit and use things as excuses. You persevere and get the job done. You're a self-starter and you're a go-getter. You can be a person of purity. You're godly. You're honorable in your ways and you live with righteous living. Just like it says in 2 Timothy 2:20, it says, now in a large house, there's not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. And then it says, now flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call upon the Lord with a pure heart. Just think about those four things: attitude, character, action, purity. None of these various characteristics, none of these characteristics have anything to do with skill, with talent, with gifting, or certainly with personality. None of these things have anything to do with those specific abilities that each of us have as individuals, because we've all got our different abilities. But all of these things are things that we can grow in and develop and secure as a part of our life. And when we do, they define the kind of person that you are, not just the ability that you have, but the kind of person that you are. Yeah. And you know what? I've seen more people miss their call because of these things than I've ever seen miss their call because of a skill or because of a talent. People with attitude issues, pride, unwillingness, ego, people whose character was unfaithful and inconsistent, people who were not people of action. You know, they're always waiting. They're always passive, over-spiritualizing. It's like, well, let's just wait and see what the Lord wants to do. Well, while you're waiting, why don't you open the Bible, read the Gospels, and when you get to the part where it says go, you can stop waiting. Why? Because God's already told you what to do. What are you waiting for? Get doing what he already told you what to do. And sadly, I've watched people as well lose out on their calling because of moral compromise that disqualified them. You see, you can feel like, man, what do I do if I get in this, if I start this conversation about Jesus with this person? Like what am I going to do? And just start the conversation. You can feel like, oh, I don't know where I should serve. I don't know really where I feel called to serve or what. Just start serving. Just do something. I don't know how I can help people. I know I'm supposed to make a difference in people's lives, and I just don't know how I can do it. Just start getting involved in a connect group so you get connected to people, and opportunity will come. Here's the deal. It's always easier to guide a moving ship than it is to get it away from the dock. And too many believers have a life that's tied to the dock, waiting for God to show them what to do when they just need to get moving, and Jesus will help you find your way. One last thought. Get to use the funny little board one more time. Think about this. What if your competency is a 9? What if your competency is a 9, but your character is like a 5, and your attitude is like, oh, we'll give you a 6.5. What if that is the mix that's in your life compared to somebody who may have a competency that's just average, just a 7, but their character is an 8, and their attitude is a 9. We all know this person's going way further in life than this person is. But the reason I put those numbers like that is to show you we're putting way too much weight on this and saying to ourselves, I'm inadequate. I just want to end by saying this. You are adequate for your calling. You are adequate. I'm not going to read all of the verses, but I'm going to make the statements. As long as you are focused on being you, you are adequate. Don't try to be somebody else. You, be you. As long as you focus on that, you're trying to be somebody else, you're adequate. You say, well, I see this person, what they're like, and that person, what they're like, and how God uses. Can I just tell you something? A calling is not a personality. So forget about that. Forget about that. As long as you stay in the boundaries of your calling, here's the cool thing. When you stay in the boundaries, it builds a sense of confidence. Inadequacy is when you try to be outside of this and in a place that isn't you. But when you stay there, that's your place of adequacy. Paul was called to reach the Gentiles. Peter was called to reach the Jews. God defined the boundaries and said, this is who you are. This is what I want you to do. Stay within the boundaries. Stay in that place and it'll be awesome. And you know what? Humility is part of what keeps us in a place of adequacy. Why? Because humility keeps us being ourselves and being content and being happy and being fulfilled about being ourselves instead of stepping out into something that we are not. And here's the last thing I want to say in 2 Corinthians 3:4. I want to read this as we close. It says this. Such confidence we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. God says, listen, I've already made you adequate. I have made you adequate as a minister of the new covenant. You know, rather than the enemy just playing on our thoughts of, oh, he can't really use me. What should I say? Where would I take this conversation? They'll probably say no if I invite them anyway. And all the things that try to take us out of God using us. But instead, stepping up and saying, okay, God, today's another day. You said I've been made adequate. I'm ready for service. You see, rather than looking at your ability, your mistakes, your weaknesses, your last sin, your fears, or even what other people may have said about you, if you're doing all of that, you've got a reason to feel inadequate. But instead, we're to take our eyes off of that, do what the Bible says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the what? Author and finisher of our faith. So instead of going around believing you're inadequate, you set your eyes on Jesus and what he has done for you. And God says, I'm the author of your faith. I'm going to take it out of a place of believing you are less than what you are to a place of believing you can do anything that I've called you to do. Why? Because we set our eyes on him and we recognize everything that God's already done in our life. Salvation, redemption, adoption into his family, being filled with his Spirit, having Christ in me, the hope of glory, God giving you a new heart and a new mind, and the fact that you walk in relationship with him, and setting your eyes on that empowers you out of a place of inadequacy to a place of faith where God can work in and through your life. Let's stand as we take time to pray. Father, I just thank you right now that As your word says, you have made us adequate as ministers of the new covenant. Father, I thank you we are all called. I thank you, Father, there are many ways that we can embrace the responsibility of the gospel and serve you. Many conversations, Father, that lie in our future that we're to have with people, opportunities to share our story of how Jesus has changed our life, to answer people's questions, to invite people to church, to make a difference in other people's lives. And Father, I declare, Father, according to your word, we have been made adequate. We are already there. We're not trying to become this. It's already ours. And Father, I thank you for people being strengthened as they leave this place, that Lord, to realize that you have already made us, you've already prepared us, you've made us adequate for us to be used by you to make a difference in the lives of others. And so, Father, we declare that we are ready according to your word. May we be used by you, even especially in this Christmas season, such an opportunity, in Jesus' name. You know, with our heads bowed, I want to pray one more prayer. The scripture says that our adequacy comes from him. It's from his forgiveness. It's from his acceptance. It's from him making us a part of his family. But my question to you is this: have you connected with him? Have you connected with him? Or maybe you're holding back because you feel like, I'm not quite ready. I need to get a little better. I need to fix my life a little better. If I can just overcome this problem in my life, if I could just do a little better in this area, you know, then it'd be okay for me to call myself a Christian. Then it'd be okay for me to say yes to Jesus. But I got to make myself ready. You know, that's the complete opposite way to think about this. Jesus takes people as is. That's the only way he takes us. He never puts an obligation for us to be or do something or become something. He receives us as is. And then in the context of us being accepted by God, forgiven by God, and in a relationship with God, we open up our heart to where he can make us whatever it is that we are called to be. He can change us in the way that we need to change. But you don't need to prepare yourself to be good enough for God. God did what was good for you already when he sent his son Jesus to take care of your past. So I want to pray with you. I want you to answer the question, have you connected? Can you let go of any kind of concept that says I need to be better to be ready? And just trust God right now with your life. With our heads bowed, how many here would say, Pastor, you know what, include me in that prayer. Could you just give me a wave? I want to pray with you. I want to agree with you to give your life to Christ right now, to say yes to Jesus right now. Thank you, guys. You can put your hands down. Let's pray with those who are praying here this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have made me adequate. I ask you to forgive my past, and I'm inviting you into my life, confessing you as my Savior and the Lord of my life. I'm going to follow you with all of my heart. Thank you for accepting me as is. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.